It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Straight from the Freedom Summit, freedomsummit.com. You know, this is, we're going to have a great time. We're getting all set up here. We want to make sure we give you live from in the studio. And what I want to do is I want to make sure that you guys are entertained while I'm busy.
Doing more important things.
Yeah, doing more important stuff. So what I'm going to do is turn it over to Adam Kokesh. See, oh, how nice are we? You know, the thing is, you know, Adam was one of the speakers here last year, had a good time, and the same weekend last year is a rugby tournament here, and you went out, and I knew you were going to get hurt, you know, so sure as heck, man, he bashes his neck, and then he's all...
I didn't do it, somebody else did.
Yeah, but he's all drugged up, you know, he's like, yeah, muscle relaxers, man, I'll do it. So we've been having a good time. We're making sure that you guys are entertained. I got stuff I got to do, so I'm going to turn it over to Adam Kokesh. Go ahead, Adam. Entertain the people.
Thank you so much, Ernie. Welcome to a special edition of Declare Your Independence with Adam Kokesh, host of Adam versus the Man, filling in for none other than Ernie Hancock here live from the Crescent Sheraton in Phoenix, Arizona. It's been a great little adventure getting out here, if I may share a personal story. Well, of course, I have my show that I do from the studio in Albuquerque on AM 1550 KIVA there, and it's from 9 to 11 p.m., so I had a guest that I had to give a ride home. I didn't get home till something like 1 o'clock, and then just woke up in the back seat of my car sometime mid-morning on the way over here and got a little phone call about doing the show. Yeah, we're still on the way. We're still doing this, and we're still very excited to be here. We've got an incredible lineup for the Freedom Summit, freedomsummit.com. If you're listening to this, I presume you're down with the cause, but you're not going to be out here this weekend. But we've got a lot of great stuff that's going to be coming. Drew is here. Drew, are you producing the show, or are you just... No, hands off. All right. He's just doing all the technical work when something goes wrong. So he's going to be bringing you a lot of the events here from Freedom Summit. Very exciting. So tonight, Friday night, the largest bank robbery in human history and how to survive the Great Depression is a special forum tonight. Saturday morning, starting at 6:30 a.m. is the vendor setup for anybody who's going to be coming in and helping out with that. Ernie Hancock and Mark Victor, co-founders, along with Dana Hancock of this summit, are going to be welcoming and opening the proceedings here at 8:45 a.m. tomorrow. Of course, I'll be playing rugby somewhere, trying not to get injured. Dr. Jeffrey Singer is first on the list here, 9 to 9:45 a.m., the decline and fall of the American healthcare system. Then Donald J. Boudreau, globalization and its many myths. We're going to come back and talk about some of these and get into detail. We might even have some of the organizers of the summit and some of the speakers come in and join us in the next couple hours. We hope. We're still waiting on that. We have people arriving from all over the country because of who Ernie Hancock is and because of what the Freedom's Phoenix crew represents here in Phoenix and the incredible work that they're doing and what Ernie has meant to the Freedom Movement over the years. Stefan Molyneux is going to be here on Sunday. And that the title of his presentation is How to Go on the Offensive Without Being Offensive. Stefan Molyneux is one of my most, I suppose, most influential philosophers and someone who has had a great influence on the freedom movement with a very strong philosophical ground and one that I think is shared by Ernie. And when I was running for Congress, when I was getting first really involved with the freedom movement, I considered Ernie Hancock to be a mentor to me. And I always said, if you know I've still got Ernie Hancock on my side, I haven't compromised a bit. And I think Stefan Molyneux is one of those similarly philosophically grounded non-aggressors who is consistent in his principles and just brilliant in how he's able to communicate them. Now, just if I may backtrack, I first met Stefan at the New Hampshire Liberty Forum a couple years ago, and he was talking about the technique that he had come up with for explaining positions from the point of nonviolence and non-aggression and a way of communicating that that I've actually used. And the technique is pretty simple. But let me just say, before we go any further, if you want to send me an email during the show, we're going to be using the same email as we do for Adam versus the Man. That's adamversustheman@gmail.com. The website for that show is adamversustheman.com. And, of course, freedomsummit.com if you want to check out what's going on here and get more into this schedule and really see what's coming up. A lot of it's going to be live streamed. All of it's going to be recorded. There's going to be some great stuff coming out of here. Really looking forward to this Sunday. But I just want to explain what I was able to take away from the last time I heard Stefan speak, because the basic concept of what he was presenting was that you have to establish a connection with the person you're debating. And the easiest way for me to do this is to use an example, and he uses the one about our foreign policy, about the war in Iraq. And he said if he was talking to a conservative, or if he was talking, I mean, anybody who was supporting the war in Iraq, he said you have to start with, well, that's great. I respect you. I respect your opinion. I understand what you're saying. And I respect it enough, and I respect you as a human being, that I would never use violence against you for disagreeing with me. Would you extend to me that same courtesy? If you want to send money to fight a war in Iraq, if you want to pay taxes for that, if you want to send troops to go, you know what, agree with that, not that I'm going to support that, but I would never use violence against you to stop you from giving someone else your money to do that. And it's a very important line to draw, because if they say, well, of course, I would extend the same courtesy to you, they have to expect that the government would extend that same courtesy as well. And you can say, well, I disagree with the war in Iraq. Therefore, I'm not going to fund it. I'm not going to send money to have troops go halfway across the world and occupy a foreign nation that wasn't a threat to us, that we're simply exploiting through occupation. But if you disagree with me, as a supporter of the war in Iraq, why would you use violence against me to force me to support something that I disagree with? And what it does is it exposes the gun. And that's a big part of what his philosophy is based on, is revealing where the coercion is involved. And really, that's one of the things that's so beautiful about the Freedom Summit and any event put on by Ernie Hancock, is that you know it is going to be truly grounded in that deeper spirit of liberty. It is going to understand that liberty is connected to non-aggression, to human rights associated with that, and that any initiation of force, fraud, or violence against another human being is a violation of freedom. So what Stefan is going to be talking about Sunday, here's the description. It's how to go on the offensive without being offensive. So often, liberty activists get cast the role of solving the problems thrown at us by others. I'm sure people have had this experience. You say, well, the government shouldn't do this. The government should do that. Well, then what's happening? Who's going to do it? And the example here is, who will build the roads? And you know what? I did a show on free market roads and traffic lights and intersections when it came up a few weeks ago, when they did a study in London that revealed if they had just removed half the traffic lights in this one area of a city, the traffic actually flowed far better than it had before. But you come up on this problem, and this talk is going to be about putting you on the offensive, forcing them to answer those questions. Very exciting. New timing to get used to. This is fun. All right, we're coming up on a break here, but we'll be right back. If you want to email me during the show, adamversustheman@gmail.com. This is Adam Kokesh filling in for Ernie Hancock on Declare Your Independence.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Lies, 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 and more lies. This is not Ernest Hancock broadcasting from the Freedom's Phoenix studios. This is Adam Kokesh filling in for Ernie Hancock while he does more important things, making sure this Freedom Summit happens here. We are broadcasting live from the Crescent Ballroom in the Sheraton Crescent Hotel. Adam Kokesh of Adam versus the Man filling in here clumsily for Ernie Hancock today. Having a good time, though, with the Freedom's Phoenix crew as we're getting set up, debating with our non-producer, Drew, as to who's responsible for the technical aspects of the show. I've got, like, more equipment that we have in my entire home studio in front of me, and there's no one behind it. You know that the personal liberty, individual responsibility, or personal responsibility thing? It's one of those things that we as liberty activists, of course, are still working on. But Drew is responsible for too many things today and is going back to the studio to set up some of the equipment for the live video feed that you're going to be able to catch here from the events that we've got going on with No Promises. Thanks, Drew. All right, freedomsummit.com if you want to check out the schedule. And I apologize for letting myself get cut off in that last segment talking about Stefan Molyneux. So back to this description of what he's going to be talking about on Sunday. I'm really looking forward to this. He will be – so often the title is How to Go on the Offensive Without Being Offensive. So often liberty activists get cast the role of solving the problems thrown at us by others who will build the roads, just as an example. Stefan Molyneux of Freedom Main Radio will show you how to turn this around and get people to start answering their own questions rather than just throwing up endless objections. And he's just one of the amazing speakers that's going to be here this weekend. I always learn something from hearing Stefan Molyneux talk. FreedomMainRadio.com is his website. Like I said, when I was in New Hampshire for the Liberty Forum a couple of years ago and heard him talk about the against me argument, or would you use violence against me for disagreeing argument, it's something that I've actually used. I found that it's more applicable to talking to liberals. And in Santa Fe, where I'm from, it's actually been really helpful because you have just the sort of bleeding heart mentality. And if you point out to them that there's violence behind what they're advocating, it at least makes them stop and think. And for most people, for most Americans, to get someone to actually stop and think and consider some of the broader topics that our movement is concerned with is a huge accomplishment. I remember a woman I was talking to in Santa Fe about, I mean, it always comes down to social programs. It always comes down to health care or Social Security, or shouldn't these people be taken care of? Doesn't society have a responsibility? And that's fine. You know, you don't even have to debate that. But if you can, you know, hit them up with, well, can't we just find a way to do this without violence? Usually you can get them to stop and think with one line about that. But you really have to get them to the concept of taxation is violence. And sometimes that takes a slightly longer approach. But having listened to Stefan Molyneux explain that, I feel like I really gained a skill, or at least was introduced to this concept, this technique, from hearing him speak at the Liberty Forum. And I've been able to apply it and really develop that in my use of that. Anyways, if you want to contact me during the show, I'm going to be on my email that we use for our show out of Albuquerque, adamversustheman@gmail.com. Let us know what's on your mind. There's a lot of interesting stuff in the news today we're going to cover. But I want to get through the schedule here for the Freedom Summit. Again, freedomsummit.com. That's going on this weekend at the Sheraton Crescent Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. Scott Horton is going to be here Sunday as well. The title of his discussion is War, 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 Why, Why? He's the assistant editor from antiwar.com, host of Anti-War Radio for the Liberty Radio Network, and he is going to be joining us from California. Mark Stevens would be following that Sunday with How Do We Get to a Voluntary Society? He's the radio host of the No State Project and author of Adventures in Legal Land. So What I'm really looking forward to, though, is just hanging out with all the cool people here in the Freedom's Phoenix crew Saturday night, because that's where all the action is. But Saturday night, we have the dinner host is Jim Sharp, the KFYI morning talk show host, and the keynote is from Lawrence Reed. His title is Echoes of Rome, is America Repeating Ancient Mistakes. He is the president of the Mackinac Center for Public Policy for its first two decades and became president emeritus of the center upon assuming his duties as president of the Foundation for Economic Education. That's right, FEE, a very important institution in the freedom movement for what they do in explaining economics. And the economic ignorance of Americans is just staggering. And the proof of this is in the propaganda that we get. Every time you hear our government putting out some kind of number saying, well, unemployment is this, GDP is that, spending is that, consumer confidence is this, Americans, by and large, just go, oh, okay. And they have the predictable reaction. They have the response that they've been conditioned to. And one of the things we're seeing, one of the headlines we're seeing today is unemployment rate reaches 9.8% as hiring slows. I guess there's really no way to spin this now as the economy continues to fail, as we see increasing concentration of economic power in the hands of the few with the support of the government. But 9.8% in unemployment. Didn't Obama say something about 8%? I mean, it wasn't quite a promise, but there's a much bigger psychological barrier here, and it's kind of silly, the game that's being played with this. Here, this is from the AP. In a surprising setback, the nation's unemployment rate climbed to 9.8% in November, a seven-month high, as hiring slowed across the economy. Not across the country, across the economy, of course. You know, and the terms that are thrown into this are always just meaninglessly deceptive, but 9.8%. We know that the real unemployment rate is somewhere north of 20%. If you go to, you know, shadow stats, if you understand how they calculate unemployment, it's really when what's ironic is when they say unemployment rate, most Americans assume that that means the current number of people who are unemployed in this country. Well, the ironic thing is it's not exactly true. It's really a rate, as in what is the rate of people becoming unemployed at over a certain period of time. Because if you're unemployed over 6 months, or if you stop looking or whatever, they drop you off the rolls. They stop counting you. So it's really, you know, as long as we have unemployment as high as it has been, the actual number keeps climbing. So it's really, if unemployment was 9.8% for a month, you might have real unemployment at around 9.8%. When unemployment is 9.8% for a year, it's going to be two or three times that, which is really scary. But one of the things that's going on, and it's funny because what we were talking about on the show last night was medical marijuana in New Mexico. And this is something that I'm getting involved with personally. And I'm going to have to wait till after this next break to tell you all about that. This is Adam Kokesh filling in for Ernie Hancock, live from the Crescent Ballroom at the Crescent Sheraton in Phoenix, Arizona, representing Freedom's Phoenix today, freedomsummit.com. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to a special edition of Declare Your Independence with Adam Kokesh, filling in for Ernie Hancock live from the Sheraton Crescent in Phoenix, Arizona, where the Freedom Summit is ramping up, and we have the Freedom's Phoenix crew here, the Lovolutionaries setting up. I have so much equipment in front of me, and no. I have like three different producers. And everybody's doing a million different things. It's really exciting because I know that there's so much effort going into this summit and there's so many great speakers coming up. We've been talking about them. But if you want to email me during the show, we're going to be using my email that we use for the show out of Albuquerque, adamversustheman@gmail.com. And I'm going to be doing a special edition of my show from right here tonight as well, adamversustheman.com. But if you want to find out about what's going on with the summit this weekend, freedomphoenix.com or freedomsummit.com. So what I was talking about when we cut for the break there, and I apologize, I'm still getting familiar with the LRN format here, but I really appreciate the opportunity to reach out to a new audience. So if you're listening and you have some thoughts about what we're talking about or something that you want shared on the air here, shoot me an email, adamversustheman@gmail.com. So medical marijuana in New Mexico, that was the subject of our show last night. And the reason I want to talk about this in the context of the economic issues that we're going to be discussing here at Freedom Summit this weekend and the unemployment rate at 9.8 and all the different deceptions going on around that and the manipulation, the economic propaganda that we get from our government. I'm going to make that connection, but first I want to give you guys a little background about what my involvement is with medical marijuana in New Mexico. I recently applied for a patient's card, and it's this ridiculous bureaucratic process. The way that the law was passed in New Mexico, by statute, there are certain requirements for the Department of Health to carry out a medical marijuana program. However, the Department of Health, the bureaucrats there, have an incredible amount of discretion as to how they administer it, what conditions are eligible. Of course, this is a huge downside from California, where you know any doctor who wants to recommend a medicine is respected in doing that, as opposed to here, well, it's not up to the doctor, it's up to the bureaucrat as to whether or not you get your choice of a medicine. First of all, I believe it is a fundamental human right to decide what you put in your own body and how much of it. And the regulations that we have in New Mexico represent scraps of freedom. This hearing that we went to yesterday at the New Mexico Department of Health, there are some proposed changes in the rules with the licensed producers. And here's the other part about my involvement, is that I've been asked, it's been a great honor, to serve on the board of directors of a licensed New Mexico nonprofit medical marijuana producer. And that's the setup. You can't start a business. You can't do, you know, it's has to be a New Mexico nonprofit. That's the setup. I mean, heaven forbid that we have any kind of free market in medical marijuana. Heaven forbid that anybody actually make money serving other people's needs. It's happening anyways. There's no way around it. But this is why I want to make the connection to the economic issues here. All of the people that were at this hearing yesterday were essentially begging for scraps of their freedom back. They were there groveling. Please increase the limit of this. Please let us grow a few more plants. Please let us be able to determine how much we need as patients instead of this arbitrary 6 ounce limit if you're a patient. You know, and I don't want to bore you with the details of how these regulations actually affect individual patients, but you know, there's plant count limits. You can apply for an individual patient producer license as well as an individual patient license that allows you to own and consume legally under New Mexico law. But if you're a lot of the people that really need medical marijuana, and like for me, you know, I deal with post-traumatic stress disorder. I have some chronic pain issues. I like smoking pot after a rugby game. I gotta be honest, and it's a heck of a lot healthier than the pharmaceutical muscle relaxers that I've been prescribed for a variety of rugby injuries over the years that I know a lot of other rugby players are taking after rugby games. So I'm not one of these people in a life or death situation. But there are cancer patients who, if they don't have something to stimulate their appetite, they can't hold down food. These people that are wasting away, you know, there were people like that at this hearing yesterday. We heard from a veteran who has bipolar disorder on top of PTSD. He had PTSD from a service in Vietnam and then had another accident in training and hit his head and ended up with bipolar disorder. And, you know, not sure exactly how that works medically. But anyways, this is a guy for whom medical marijuana is a huge quality of life issue. He's been given prescriptions from the VA essentially, he's taking like 500 pills a month. That's freaking nuts. 500 pills a month? I mean, is the human body designed to absorb those kinds of chemicals in that quantity? I don't think so. For me, you know, when I went to the VA, I was given 5 different prescriptions. By the way, 3 of them had suicide listed as a side effect. And if I was at the point where I still really needed any of those, and I don't, I've learned how to deal with it, with my issues without any kind of drugs or pharmaceuticals. But back when I really got some genuine benefit from them, it would have been nice to be able to smoke pot legally as opposed to illegally in order to deal with anxiety and some of the other issues that I was dealing with associated with post-traumatic stress disorder. But I was living in Washington, D.C. It's not easy to come by there. I don't like buying pot on the street. I don't like having to go to someone who might be dealing other drugs. I don't want to deal with someone who might be a legitimate criminal for other things who happens to be selling weed as well. So here in New Mexico, what we're able to do is grow as individual patients, have licensed producers that have some measure of accountability to patients because they're able to grow in the open and have that measure of accountability. So that reassurance is the real value of a program like this. But this veteran, this Vietnam veteran who went up at the hearing yesterday, I couldn't help. It was sad. I was almost ready to cry just listening to this man plead his case. A guy who has served our country in combat, coming home, going to a hearing like this, in front of a bunch of schmuck bureaucrats in suits, having to beg. Having to grovel for scraps of his freedom back. And these are people that believe in the cause, at least of medical marijuana. These are people that support it, but they sure enjoy the position they're in. And that's what's really sad about this. As much as anybody else, they are drug war profiteers. Because every time they hold back an ounce of that freedom, anytime they say, well, you can grow 95 plants, but not 96 plants. You, as an individual patient, you can grow 6 plants, but not 7 plants. It is just as wrong and just as criminal as the drug war itself. Anyways, the plant count limit for an individual patient is 6 plants. And some of these guys, if you're a veteran on disability, we talked to Robert Jones, who made national headlines a couple weeks ago with his federal housing subsidy case. Now, I'm against federal housing subsidies. But if you're going to have people dependent on that, you shouldn't be taking them away because of the medicine that they have chosen to take. That was his case, which ended up resulting in something really exciting. The San Miguel County Commission in New Mexico, acting as the housing board, essentially stood up to the federal government and said, this drug activity is not criminal. He signed an agreement that said he would not engage in criminal drug activity. This is legal. We're going to let him keep his subsidy. The San Miguel County Commission, New Mexico, stood up to the federal government on this. That in and of itself is an incredible accomplishment. But if you're allowed to grow 6 plants and you can only grow outdoors because that's the cheapest, can you get a year's supply out of that? If you can, you're not allowed to keep enough of it to last you a year. I mean, it's all this petty bureaucratic BS, these infringements of our rights. But it's still great to see that progress is being made on the issue. And we're coming up on another break. So I got to say, freedomsummit.com one more time. This is Adam Kokesh filling in for Ernie Hancock on Declare Your Independence, live from Phoenix, Arizona at the Crescent Sheraton. If you want to see what we're up to this weekend, freedomsphoenix.com or freedomsummit.com. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Well, if you're listening to the show, maybe the question should be, how do you get to the Freedom Summit? And the answer is not freedom, but freedomsummit.com might help you out. This is Adam Kokesh filling in for Ernie Hancock on Declare Your Independence, broadcasting live from the Crescent Sheraton in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. Just drove in from Albuquerque this morning. Very exciting. And we've been talking about medical marijuana and some of the implications of that in New Mexico, and Arizona just passed their own law here by referendum. That was very exciting to see. There, it was one element of this that is actually pioneering, which is very exciting. And I have to say, my hat's off to whoever was behind this in Arizona and everybody who voted for it. There is a reciprocity element of the Arizona law that no other state has. Basically, if you're in California and you're not a resident of the state of California, it doesn't matter if you have glaucoma or cancer or PTSD. If you don't have a California ID, you can't legally smoke pot in California. Of course, now it's decriminalized, and if you have less than an ounce, yada, yada. Here's the important turning point, And this is what is starting to happen in California. This is really the important turning point with the war on drugs and the progress that is being made and the importance of supporting medical marijuana initiatives, even if it means that you have to reduce yourself to begging for scraps of your freedom back, as so many great Americans did yesterday at this hearing at the Department of Health in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Because there comes a point where the consumption of marijuana is separated from the prison industrial complex. And there are places in California, it's not universal, it's not everywhere, I mean, they're still busting people, and there's still lots of people in jail, and growers and distributors and so on and so forth are doing time for victimless crimes. But there are places where individual law enforcement officers say, screw it. We're not going to buy, you know, we walking by somebody, you smell weed, people are smoking in their homes, and, you know, you see smoke coming out, or it stinks, or people growing plants, whatever. They don't bother. Because even if they do get to bust somebody for it, it's a citation now. And that's, now it hasn't fully been disconnected in California from the prison industrial complex there, but it's coming to that point. And that's going to be the big turning point on this issue, and that's very exciting. Speaking of which, I'm broadcasting live from the Freedom Summit here in Phoenix, Arizona, freedomsummit.com. If you want to email me during the show, we're going to be using the same email as we do for mine, adamversustheman@gmail.com, and I'm very excited to be doing a special edition of adamversustheman.com from right here later tonight. So back to the schedule here. Saturday, what we have to look forward to. Did we finish Friday? No, we didn't. We did. So that's Friday night. Was the largest bank robbery in human history and how to survive the Greatest Depression. That's tonight, 6:30. And if you want to see the whole schedule, freedomsummit.com, freedomsphoenix.com. Really grateful for Ernie Hancock for putting this together with the co-founders Mark Victor and his wife Donna Hancock, and for everything that they do here with the Freedoms Phoenix crew. Freedomsphoenix.com. I use their email service. I'm signed up to this, and I think it's really helpful as a news aggregator. I used to say when I was, you know, when people would ask me, and this is such a great question to ask other anybody who's involved in activism or in politics, where do you get your news? How do you inform yourself? And one of my sources is the daily emails from freedomsphoenix.com. I used to say I got my news from three sources, the Washington Post, the New York Times, and Freedoms Phoenix, and there's only one of those I really trust. Although, as a news aggregator, of course, they reference a lot of other outlets. But what they do is they get to what the really important news here is today. And so I want to get through the schedule, and then we're going to get to some of the things that they're sending out here. Following WikiLeaks, this is something we've been talking about, especially on our show, Adam versus the Man, because the foreign policy, well, we were talking about this last week, that the foreign policy issues that are coming to a head are going to be really prominent in the news. And I think, if anything, in the fallout from the State Department cables release that happened on Monday from WikiLeaks, that was a 250,000+ documents that Julian Assange put out through WikiLeaks.org. There's going to be a lot of implications for that in our foreign policy and the State Department. And a lot of calls for exposing some of the secrets that our government has. Now, one of the objections that I keep hearing is, how did a PFC get access to all that intelligence? And, you know, I love that our listeners are people that question the general narrative, people that question the propaganda, people that hear a story and ask themselves, well, what's really going on? Who's telling me this and why? Why are we getting this story? And when we hear this general narrative through the mainstream media about WikiLeaks, well, there was a PFC Bradley Manning who, while he was listening to Lady Gaga or whatever, downloaded an incredible amount of data from the CIPRNet, the secure internet protocol, whatever, that the military uses for secret communications or for sharing secret documents. And people are saying, you know, okay, so then he went to Julian Assange, WikiLeaks.org, and Julian Assange has been on his behalf releasing these documents in a controlled manner, in a way that that they're scrubbed, in the sense that none of the confidential sources are revealed, no individual lives are really put at risk as a result. And by and large, they've done a really good job of this. And on our show earlier this week, we had Ray McGovern, who was one of the daily intelligence briefers for President Reagan, on our show. And he made the important point. I mean, it's impossible to prove a negative. But if there was a single case of someone, an Iraqi, an Afghan, someone in any other country throughout the world, exposed as a source, as people are alleging with the State Department documents, as people alleged when the cache of documents about Iraq came out and the cache of documents about Afghanistan came out, if there was a single source that was compromised, if there was a single person who was exposed as a result of this and was killed or arrested or anything else, anybody who had negative repercussions that they didn't deserve because they were helping the United States in our noble foreign policy, we would be hearing about that. That would be all we would be hearing about. They have gone to every length they can to demonize Julian Assange and Bradley Manning. I mean, Julian Assange has been accused of sexual assault, associations with Code Pink, are being held against him now. His website hosting from Yahoo has been, he was rejected from his host because of pressure from Senator Lieberman. I mean, there's just been one thing after another, but there has not been a single case that we have heard of someone being inappropriately exposed. Now, one of the things that Raymond Govern said that was really interesting, that the first cache of documents, he said, was maybe not quite adequately scrubbed, but there was still not a single case, as of yet, of someone who's been compromised as a result of these documents. So you can see the full schedule there, freedomsphoenix.com for the Freedom Summit this weekend, also freedomsummit.com. One of the things that's great about this is they also cover a lot of movement news. One of the headlines here in today's email, libertarian activist to stand trial for videotaping cops in Mississippi. This is about Adam Mueller, friend of mine with Liberty on Tour. He's been, the summary here, he has been making headlines on photography is not a crime lately, and is on his way to Mississippi for a trial regarding his arrest last year for videotaping police. The evidence, anyways, this is great stuff. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Check it out. Sign up for the email list. I actually use it a lot in preparing for my show. Don't tell Ernie or it'll go to his head. But he's right here doing more important things. I'm really honored to have this opportunity to fill in for him on Declare Your Independence. If you want to email me during the show, adamversustheman@gmail.com. So the Saturday afternoon schedule, we covered Saturday morning here for Freedom Summit. For the lunch tomorrow, the speakers are Judge Buttrick, Judge Gray, and Mark Victor, an attorney. Criminal justice system on trial. And anybody paying attention knows that we don't have a criminal justice system in America. We have a criminal punishment system. Anyways, we're coming up on our last break here, and we'll be back after the news. This is Adam Kokesh filling in for Ernie Hancock on Declare Your Independence. If you want to shoot me an email during the show, adamversustheman@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.